Welcome to the Ion Basketball Podcast, the Control Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Happy Friday to you. I never say the day. I feel like I should say the day. It's Friday. We have Matt Moore Skyping with us. Matt, happy Friday? Do we do that in the blog world?
No, we have no concept of real time. We work every day, but we don't work very hard, so.
That's the thing that used to drive me nuts, though, is in the office environment, which I mean, you know me well enough to know that I am not a personality that can deal with, what do you call it, people? That I have a problem dealing with people due to crippling antisocial behavior and really
lack of patience in any regard.
Yeah, complete lack of patience and I would just say a social, not ineptitude, but unwillingness. I think that's the way to go. But when you would ask, like you would be in an office and you see them in the morning, you're like, oh, hey, how's it going? And they say, well, it's Monday. And it used to drive me insane. Like, I didn't ask you which freaking day it is. I asked you how you were doing. Like, I just give me the requisite, like, oh, I'm fine. Like, just do that. Don't tell me. I know what day it is.
This is like a sports show. I would drop in like a
whammy.
I would do like a it's Friday by Rebecca Black drop in combined with Psycho's like killer music.
Oh, God. But that's the thing, like, and now when you're just commuting to your couch and games are every day and you could be working any day, like, there it's just no concept of a day. Like,
just blends in all together.
Yeah, the only thing I know about Friday is that, like, I'll actually get to hang out with my lady one of the next 2 days, which is cool. So that'll be fun. That's the only time I know that, like, Friday means something to me.
See, it used to be I would be tethered by the fact that my wife would work. So it would be like, okay, it's the weekend now.
Yeah.
You know, my wife's home. And then now she's in grad school, so that's gone. And then it was football would be the tether, and now that's gone.
Right.
So now we're into just the endlessness of winter. Happy Friday, everyone.
We've got – CBS has the Super Bowl, right?
I don't know. I can't really tell from the front page of CBS Sports.
I feel like they might – maybe they're going to show a tape delay version of it. There might be something.
They keep telling us. They're like, no, we're going to pay attention to you. We just got to get to next week. We just got to get to next week. And we're like, yeah, we're writing such good stuff.
Like, but what about the NBA section? Like, NBA? Like, we don't do a business section.
Right. Oh, man.
You know what wasn't super?
What?
You know what wasn't super last night?
What wasn't super?
Russell Westbrook's attitude?
I love him. He's so amazing.
It was really stunning. For those that
apparently, he had a turnover.
Yeah, he got a Mark Jackson 5 second post up turnover, which I mean, I hadn't seen one of those, and I can't remember the last time I saw one.
I've seen it called 5 times this year. They're trying to call it more.
He got one, and apparently he got furious because Thabo Sefolosha, he wanted Thabo to cut, and he kept waiting for him to cut from the 3-point line to either try to pass it to him or to where he could get to the spot where he wanted to go. And Thabo never did it. I guess he didn't understand what Russ wanted. And Westbrook just lost it. Like, he played, I think there were maybe 40 more seconds. And maybe he misses a jumper on the next possession, and they subbed him out, or they went to a timeout and then subbed him out or something. But he went to the bench and just lost his excrement. Like, just completely lost it.
Yeah, you wonder if there's like something personal going on. That's like my first thought.
Yeah, that's immediately what I thought because I mean it looks like he gets into such a thing and he's yelling and Maurice Cheeks is trying to calm him down on the bench and then he storms off to the locker room, and eventually comes back and played in the fourth, but it looked like he had been crying when he came back and he had the towel on his head and his eyes are red. And it looked like he'd been crying, and then his tone of voice when Craig Sager interviewed him after the game, and Sager asked him a question, keeps like trying to pick at this situation, and Russ wouldn't get into it, and he's just like, "That's what you saw, bro, or that's your opinion, bro, or something like that," and the tone of his voice was just really like melancholy and down, and that's what made me think like, something just snapped, because he had had a great game. He had like 19 points at that point in 23 minutes of action.
It's not like the team is spiraling out of control. Like it's probably nothing basketball related.
Yeah, I mean they're up 21 at the time. I mean nothing was going poorly for him.
It's one where I get the whole thing of professionalism. I get that, but here's the thing: if you work in an office, right, and you hate people, but you know, and you like you have to go to a meeting. You can go to the meeting and you're upset about something, and you say, "Can you excuse me for a minute?" If you start thinking about something and it upsets you, you can leave. You can say, "Can you excuse me for a minute? I'll be right back." And they'll assume you're going to the bathroom or something, and you can go to your office and kind of calm yourself down.
Yeah,
Westbrook can't do that. You know, he's on national television.
He really can't do that.
Yeah, and I mean, he's an emotional guy anyway, and that's why I like him. I like the fact that he's a member of Team Hate. I love him. Like that's one of the reasons I think he's fantastic. I hope everything's okay with him. This Thunder team has always been really emotional. They're just, you know, they yell at each other, and then everyone's like, "Oh, is there Discord?" And they're like, "No, we just yell at each other."
Yeah.
We just do.
That is a funny part of it, because how many times do you just, like, have, especially, like, playing sports or whatever, or been in a competitive environment playing a video game or playing cards or whatever, and, like, you get, you're with your friends, and you get mad, and you guys have, like, a little yelling match or something. I mean, it's just such a normal thing, but when it happens with a sports team, we freak out because, oh, now we have a story.
I can't count the number of times I've just, like, pegged someone in the back of the basketball because I was pissed at them about something.
Right.
You know? And it's not them. I'm just in a mood. It's right. Just, you know, it happens. People are human. These exactly. guys are human, and stuff happens. And I think it's interesting because they're dynamic. They're just a very emotional team. And it's weird because we tend to think of emotional teams as kind of chaotic. And instead, like, the teams that are in trouble are teams that don't talk. That's when you see that sideline and no one's talking.
Yeah,
that's bad.
That's the thing I loved about watching the Clippers. They were in Minnesota, I think, twice in the last month, and that entire team, when they're on the court together, that entire bench, like they are. It's not just a celebrating; like they are just always communicating with each other, and that's a fun thing to see because you don't see that with every team.
Yeah, there are a lot of teams that just like. They're not plugged into the game at all. They're just sitting there in their own worlds. And there's some teams where the guys are just talking about whatever. Like, they're not paying attention to the game. And you can tell there's disconnect between starters and bench.
Right.
So, you know. I didn't watch the game last night because I knew it was going to be a blowout.
Yeah, it was a rough one.
Well, I mean, you know, and I especially was like, you know, I'm not going to deal with everyone being like, oh, the Rudy post-Rudy Gay era is off to a great start. Oh, but we wish they had Rudy Gay now. And it's like, they don't have any of the guys they traded for. Like, they're shorthanded. What do you expect? Like, they're shorthanded on the road against a very good team. Rudy Gay could have played, and they could have lost by 30. Stuff happens.
Against arguably the best team. Can I just rant on something a little bit that is Twitter-related?
Go for it.
There has to come a certain point where you have followed me for long enough to know that a lot of the stuff I say is sarcastic and joking, correct? I think that's very apparent. And so if I make a joke like, oh, I don't know, it's first quarter, they're down 13, and I say, clearly, this team can't win without Rudy Gay. Will they win another game all season? There are 38 games left in the season, counting last night's game at that point. 38. What's the record for losses? 26? 26 in a row? Isn't that the record for losses? Something like that? The odds that you think, that I think, that a team that is 14 games over 500 will lose the next 38 games and set an NBA record should be astronomically low. There is no way... You should take that tweet when you have followed me and think like, oh my God, is he serious? Is this sarcasm? 38 games! How is this something that people get confused with? You know that I don't take anything seriously. So I just don't get how that disconnect happens.
Well, two things. Let's have some Twitter therapy right now.
Oh, I need it.
Two things. One, I have to remind myself that not everyone who follows me is an active Twitter user. And that not everyone who follows me actively follows my feed. That there are lots of people that follow that. Like, some people follow like 200 people. Like, the kids that write for me at HP, they follow, they're like, I keep my followers at 300 and that's it. And I think that's insane. Like, I want to know as much about the world as possible.
Okay.
So I have 4,000 followers. Like, a lot of these media guys, like, they don't follow anybody. It's like a power thing, and I think that's ridiculous. Like, I want to know what people think. I think it's interesting. That's how I know what's going on.
Sure.
It's the best way for me to know, oh, like, there's like a, like, yesterday, there, like, a Suns rumor came out that's not accurate, but the Suns rumor came out, and the only way I would have known about it is Twitter was like, oh, Suns. I was like, what's going on with the Suns? And then I looked it up. I like knowing other people's opinions. I follow a lot of, you know, I try and follow different things that are, you know, not sports to try and view some stuff. I also try and reward people for, if you make a good comment, not like a positive comment towards me, but if you make a good joke, I'll tend to follow you.
Yeah.
But I have to remind myself that not everybody is, like, pouring over my Twitter feed. And so, you know, if you don't know and you encounter these things, and it's like, how could you not know that? Well, Zach, we have some stupid people in sports media. I mean, we have some overreacting people in sports media. There are people that hypothetically would say that one trade from a small market team of an underperforming small forward means the end of the super team era.
Sure.
I mean, I can't imagine who would say that, but somebody would. So we have all these people that make these really drastic opinions. And trust me, like, I get tagged with that all the time. They're like, you're being overdramatic and you're exaggerating. And I do hyperbole a lot. But I think that's part of the issue.
Sure.
That said, pay attention. Like, come on. Like, you're right. That's
38 games.
38 games.
That was...
Now watch them not win another game for the rest of the
season. Well, then I'm just going to look like a soothsayer.
Then he's just a genius.
I'll just go back and delete this podcast. There will be no record of it.
So, Hollins had some comments.
Yeah. He, wasn't crazy about trading Rudy Gay, which is weird because he wasn't crazy about using him properly.
Here's my experience with Lionel Hollins and Rudy Gay, which is very limited off of a single-digit number of games I've attended for Memphis. The best I can remember is this. I went to write a feature on Rudy Gay in Memphis, and as you do, you try and tailor for comments around it.
Like, sure.
That's part of it. I'm getting ready to go do that right now. It's going to be kind of an awkward conversation. And so Rudy has this game where he has like 5 steals, and it ties like the franchise record for steals. And so after the game, I say, can you talk about Rudy Gay's defense and kind of what he brought? And Hans like gets huffy and says, I want to make this clear. Tony Allen was responsible for most of those steals.
Wow.
And like in my brain, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, Tony Allen took control of Rudy Gay's brain and had him swipe the ball and grab it? Like, I'm trying, is it like the puppet master? Is it like being John Malkovich where it's being Rudy Gay? Is Tony Allen able to burrow into people's heads? This wouldn't surprise me.
That would actually explain a lot.
But it should certainly explain his shot selection. But, you know, I was kind of confused. So it surprised me. Hollins has some comments, and SB Nation, straight out of Vancouver, the SB Nation Grizzlies blog has a recap of it and some comments on it. It's pretty good. You should check it out. He basically said, you can't afford champagne on a beer money budget. And you have to accept the financial realities of the NBA. And this is what's being really sold. And we talked about this yesterday. It's being sold as like, the Grizzlies are just cheap. And I don't understand this. I'm like, look, they spent a huge number of possessions giving Rudy Gay the ball and watching him go one-on-one and miss jump shots.
Right.
This is a team that scraps and claws, ha ha ha, for every single point that they get.
I don't think I can bear another comment like that. Keep going.
I'll spare you the Grizzly details. You know, I think pew pew.
We're not out of the woods with these yet. We definitely should not be doing the pun gun game on Friday. That's kind of rude of us.
We're just, as always, just riding TBJ's coattails.
Hold on, I've got a quote for the end of the show.
Hug the world, people. Anyway, people that don't know the Basketball Jones podcast are just like, what are you talking about?
You should
about?
Really be listening to that other than us. That's the best podcast.
Listen to us first. And then if you can, no, listen to two.
Don't even listen to us. Just download it. That's fine.
But seriously, listen to us. Anyway. But no, you know, he's basically saying he's upset about the money. And it's, you know.
I think that's a good point, though. It's not a cheapness. They're well over the salary cap.
Yeah.
It's not a cheapness. It's giving yourself financial flexibility in the future to take on more money or to acquire a different player. Like there are player movement restrictions now that are going to come with hitting the luxury tax. And so now before it was just about, oh, you cut a check instead of receiving a check. Now it's, you can't trade this trade for this player. You can't sign and trade here. There are serious implications. So the Grizzlies are being intelligent about it. It's not a matter of the owner doesn't want to pay the luxury tax. He doesn't want to pay the luxury tax and restrict his team. Like it's such a different dynamic now that we have to get past this idea that, well, I mean, Jerry Reinsdorf is still cheap when it comes to the luxury tax, but now it's to the benefit of his team, not the detriment.
I think the bigger part of this is Zach Lowe commented on this to me on Twitter today that there's a lot of indications that Hollins isn't going to return as coach.
Yeah.
And that's bad. I mean, it's honestly bad because he wasn't happy with the move towards stats.
Right.
I feel like the Hollins thing is being a little overblown, to be perfectly honest, but there's a concern, you know, Hollins is an old school coach. He was a player in the 70s. He doesn't, you know, he's not going to embrace advanced metrics, and he doesn't like the lineup data. He has to go by what he feels is the flow of the game, and I respect that. That's fine. I think that, you know, it'd be interesting. I think it'd be interesting to see a coach that was just like, yep, I'm going to do exactly what the metrics tell me to. I think that'd be fantastic. I think it'd be fantastic to see a coach be like, we have an 80% success rate when closing out a game with this lineup. That's why I went with that lineup.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, it was asked the other night, I believe before the Wolves-Clippers game, somebody asked Vinny Del Negro, you know, do you trust your eyes and your head more than like the numbers and stuff like that? And he said, oh, absolutely. And I think that can be taken as anti-stats, and maybe he is anti-stats, but I think it would be foolish for a guy not to trust himself as a head coach, right? And I think that doesn't mean you ignore it. Like, they get scouting reports that, you know, every team puts together a comprehensive thing that has the stats, that has everything they want, you know, that you could want, and has more old school scouting with it. And you can have that mixture. You can take in information and still say, I feel this in this situation. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think that's the misnomer. I mean, we can get into it. We shouldn't, but there is a whole conversation to get into with like the stats versus the watch the games, blah blah blah. There is nobody. There's no reasonable person in this conversation that says, "Oh, it's only one or the other." Like it's always a combination of both. And with guys, I don't know about Hollins, but I would say with most coaches, they're gonna know. They're gonna listen to the information. It doesn't mean that they're gonna use it every time, but it's there.
I think a lot of it is, to narrow down the dynamic here, is metrics remove a coach's authority. And they're never going to be receptive to that.
Sure.
Because it's one where if you're like, well, I really think that we need to play Rudy Gay at four. If you look at the numbers and it's like, well, look, he's got a, you know, he shoots 5% lower. He rebounds at a 3% lower rate. He produces, you know, his PER, is whatever metric you want to use to combine the stats is lower. His efficiency is lower. His plus minus is lower. He plays worse at power forward. You know, then you look like an idiot, and it's like, well, no, like, I don't care what it says, this is what I feel.
Right.
And that's their power, and it's, there are times when you have to make, and to be honest, to be fair, there are times when you have to make decisions based on intuition and
absolutely
analysis rather than based on the cold hard data.
Yeah.
It's, the problem is the idea that, you know, the biggest, and well, again, I think we should talk about it at some point. We should talk about it with somebody who like hates stats or something. But
God, where could we find one of those?
Right, the internet. I think a large part of it is the idea that you can only go by stats. Like, you can, no, it's okay to go, because I mean, I've done it before. I'll be like, you know, I think they should do this. And then somebody will be like, look, he doesn't, you know, look at his numbers playing this position or with this lineup. I'm like, huh, okay. But then I can usually be like, well, look at the context around those numbers, you know.
Right.
Like, he's playing alongside three other guys he can't support, or you know, he's playing against – they've only done it against teams that were big because they were trying to go small. Like, there's always kind of contextual things to build around it. There's a lot of information in basketball. That's why, you know, I don't mind – I think the game is simultaneously simple and very complex. I think you can take both approaches to it.
Yeah, we've actually had that argument before of, like – I think it was a Grizzlies game maybe a year or two ago, and there were, like, you know, you're looking at the four factors and everything, and it was trying to figure out, like, how did the Grizzlies win this game? And there was just a simple, they hit 10 more shots than the other team, you know?
Yeah, and you were right on that. I mean, I you know, also, it's like, I work hard every single year to, like, get better at understanding this stuff. You know, that's why I spend time at games as much as I do. It's why I talk to I ask a lot of questions during a game or before a game or after a game that aren't necessarily about the game or relevant to news, which makes me different from a lot of guys in the media. Because I'm always like, I just want to understand this more.
Well, I don't know. I mean, why would you want to understand your job? That doesn't make any sense.
You know, when I can ask somebody how they're feeling about something.
Yeah, but the point is that there are games where the advanced stuff and everything is the answer. It tells you why something happened. And there are other games where it's just like, yeah, they hit shots.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's just that simple.
I hope that Holland gets his contract renewed. I hope he does get his contract renewed. I don't think he will. I think he'll probably go somewhere else. There's a real danger there for Memphis with – it's one thing to trade Rudy because that wasn't working.
Right.
Holland is working, and removing him and not making peace with him between him and new management is trying to fix something that isn't broken.
Exactly. And that is a dangerous situation. Like, whether he is receptive to new data or whatever shouldn't matter, because as of right now, he's doing a very good job. Like, do they have problems offensively? Absolutely. Is a lot of that him? Maybe. Does that mean that he's a bad coach? Absolutely not. Like, he gets that group of guys that they have under contract ready to play, and they win a lot more times than they lose.
There are a lot of guys on that team who have not won other places except with Lionel Hollins.
Yep.
And part of the thing is, you know, if they were to let, you know, Hollins go elsewhere and bring in a new coach. Let's say they brought in Brian Shaw, who I think is exceptionally bright, who I think is a really good coach. If he tried to do the triangle, I would strangle myself. I would strangle myself.
I almost made a joke there that would have been wildly inappropriate.
Wildly inappropriate. But, you know, he's a bright young coach. Mike Malone's another one who would be a great coach, I think.
Yeah.
There are all these guys who might be more receptive to what Memphis' management wants to do.
Right.
And could be great coaches, but it just doesn't work. It's just really complicated. Dwayne Casey is a fantastic coach.
He really is.
I mean, he's a really good coach. The Raptors can't play defense. And that is unfathomable. And you have to at some point be like, okay, whatever Casey's doing, he's not doing it well enough. He's got to share some of the responsibility for it. It's just, I really hope that he doesn't get blamed for the Toronto situation, because Casey does his job well. Monty Williams is a really good coach.
Yeah.
The Hornets are not playing good defense, and he's a defensive coach, and it's driving him nuts. You know, and some of it's roster, and some of it's coaching, and you have to be able to make – I always say you can't just always blame it on personnel, because I always go back to Tibbs, where Tibbs has four good defenders and makes the rest of their guys awesome.
Yep.
He redefines, you know, those kind of things, but – it speaks to it's you know, making a coach fit and win is really difficult. The only guy that's ever had consistent success in anywhere that he coached with different teams is Phil Jackson. And
yep.
You know, he didn't, you know, he brought talent out of nothing. He didn't really have any talent, so
he pulled up a bunch of high schoolers and said, "Hey, go out there and be somebody."
On a sad note this morning, let's talk about Brandon Roy.
He suffered another setback in practice, and he's aiming for the last 15 games of the season, which means he needs to be back to full strength by March 24th. Or not full strength, but enough strength to where he can consistently play. I thought his comments were interesting. We have him on CBSSports.com, and there are comments on CSNNW.com?
Yeah.
Where he said he could play in games now, And that's the thing. People just think like he's just this battered guy. He said he thinks he can play in games now, but he wouldn't be able to practice. And he wouldn't be able to work on the things that were or weren't working in games. And that's the key, is having that consistency. And there's all and so then that leads to the question of, well, why isn't he playing in games? And it's like, well, he's trying to be a professional about this and give the best that he can give when he's out there.
It's hard, you know. I was worried about Roy coming back, and this isn't like, I don't want to do like a, this is what I was afraid of.
Right. Because, this, I mean, that's the thing. This is what everybody was afraid of.
Yeah, and my point was not, and my point wasn't that he was going to fail, and it wasn't that, and it's one where I acknowledge that this is worth it to him. It still was. Like he wanted to try and do this. This is all he's ever done. It's just, you know, I think a lot of it, really, to lighten the mood, is that I just give up too easy on everything. I just don't care about anything enough to really stick with it outside of really, like, my marriage. Like everything else, I'm like, screw it. I'll go do something else. And that speaks to how much, you know, Roy loves this game. And I hope he's able to pull it off. It's, you know, it's rough, and it's just another part of, God, the Timberwolves this year. Ugh.
Yeah, and I think that, you know what, I think the whole Roy situation is actually more about us, the fan, than it is about Roy. Because we look at him and we're like, dude, you're battered. Like, you can't do it anymore. Why are you coming back? Why do this to yourself? Because we don't want to see him fail. Like, we want to remember him as that last game, you know, that fourth quarter against Dallas. I think it was, what, game four? We want to remember him as the guy hitting game winners on TNT. We want to remember him dunking on people. Like, that's how we want to remember Brandon Roy. And we're not allowed to do that when he's going through the struggle. And I really start to think that it's more about us than it is about him. Because you look at his comments, like, he's at peace. He's disappointed. He wants to be out there and play. He wants to be a basketball player again, but he's at peace with everything that's going on. Like, I think he's matured a ton in the last year or two with just this whole situation. And it's a weird thing where there really isn't anything wrong with what he's doing. Like, he's seeing if he can play. Someone's willing to pay him to do it. There were a lot of teams willing to pay him to do it. And it's not working out, and our disappointment shouldn't cloud the situation. I think if this is what he's comfortable with, it's not going to end his life, most likely. Then that's what the situation should be. As long as someone's willing to pay him, our disappointment and our view on the matter shouldn't factor in. And you know, I don't expect anything out of him the rest of the season. I think he will play at least once more. And really, all I want to see, I just want to see him hit a jumper. I just want to see him hit one jumper again before it's all done. And I think we'll get to see that.
I think a large part of it, the Wolves were smart in terms of they didn't go in and say, we're going to buy into Brandon Roy.
Right.
They were like, you know, we'll pay him the money. If he comes back, great. If he doesn't, okay.
And you can see that by the contract they gave him. Like, he had to be active for a certain amount of games this year. I think it was 65. To guarantee next year. Next year is not guaranteed at all. And most likely will not factor into their salary.
Now, more importantly, maybe they should have found, you know, another shooter somewhere, but...
Well, maybe... all right. I can't say the things that I want to say because they're off record, so never mind. They did find shooters. They just all got injured.
When's Love back?
Who knows? No, I think he comes. He comes back.
You are in the tree of woe.
Oh God! I mean, it's just I forgot that Peck and Shved were coming back last game, and so like I saw them in warm-ups. I was like, oh, cool. There are 12 people. It was the first time. This is a crazy thing. It was the first time the Wolves had 12 active players since December 26th.
Oh my God!
Think about that.
Oh my God!
Like they can't. They before like. A few days ago, they couldn't, like, they can't practice. They don't have enough guys to, like, run a scrimmage. They did have one practice. They had Bill Baino, assistant coach, who's just awesome. Like, he's worked so much. I don't know if he wants to be a head coach in the league or if he just likes being an assistant coach, but that guy, there's not a single player that seems to have a bad word about him from current or previous guys he's coached. Like, that guy's awesome. He like, practiced with the team as a guy, and the next day, like, could barely walk. I mean, that's how bad the injuries have gotten. With Love, I believe he comes back today from his rehab stint in New York. That made him sound like a drug addict. From his hand rehabilitation. Like, he had surgery with a specialist in New York, and the specialist wanted to monitor the first steps of his rehab.
Behind the music.
With the hand. And so now he's back, but he still has, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 more weeks of rehabilitation with the hand to you know, let it heal properly, strengthen it, and everything.
Up next, after his smash debut, Kevin Love's life goes into the rock and roll turnstile.
Oh, my God.
I'm Behind the Music, Kevin Love.
Oh, my God. That was easily your best impersonation. That one was quality. We can build on that one.
We can build on this. Speaking of the Timberwolves, only getting 2.5 to 9 versus your Los Angeles Lakers season 5.
That is astounding.
It's down too. It opened at +3. It's down to 2.5, which means,
wow. I don't know what to think of that.
That means Vegas thinks the Wolves have a really good chance to win this game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they had a real chance to win against the Clippers the other night. They're very competitive at home. That's the thing. I don't know that they've been really dominated at home other than one of, like, the really injured games. But which sounds like a really horrible spinoff of the Hunger Games. Actually, I'd read that. Well, I am reading that. I'm writing it every day. That's the thing.
As he starts to cry.
Yeah. It just hurts so much. Yeah, they're good at home. Like, they're competitive at home. So, God, maybe that's right.
Yeah, that one will be interesting to see. I think it'll be interesting to see because Howard is going to be evaluated. They don't know if he's going to go or not. It's just kind of a we'll wait and see mode on him.
Right.
If it's Pau Gasol versus Pekovic, there will be blood.
Oh, Peck will eat him alive.
He will eat him alive. And it's like Pau Gasol is maybe a much better player. So I watched that. I went back and watched that fourth quarter. Pau Gasol blew like 7 assignments.
Yeah. He can't move. Like, he just cannot move at all.
Bad.
He has,
like, his challenges are just terrible.
Yeah, he is just enough to, like, do stuff on offense. And even then, he's not doing a whole lot in terms of movement. But he just can't move. It's got to be – it's either unrelenting apathy or knee tendonitis. Maybe it's both.
And the foot. His feet are gross. I saw his feet earlier this season. I mean, it is not – it looks bad.
You can tell the guys that get pedicures and the guys that don't. Pretty easily, because it's either fairly pristine or mangled.
His, like, muscle tissue, when I saw his foot earlier this season, I mean, it was like something out of a butcher shop. It was prime rib. It was not good.
Should I go into the locker room with, like, 2 slices of bread tonight?
Oh!
And see if I can take a picture?
If you want a good, bad game tonight, Pistons are favored by 4.5 at home versus Cleveland.
That will be surprisingly entertaining.
Yeah, it's a good, bad game.
Yeah, I like that.
There'll be long stretches where you're just like, oh, God, what am I doing with my life?
Calderon debut? He should be there, right?
I have no idea. It always takes guys a long time. I imagine Jose is going to take longer because he's really invested in Toronto. So
yeah.
You know, he may not be there yet. Highline, you've been kind of riding the Magic a little bit in terms of just covering. They're getting 9 points on the road at Boston.
I feel like I'm giving
the points as much as possible. I'm riding this Boston team.
You're going Boston? I'm going Orlando. I don't trust you betting on Boston. No offense to you. I just don't think they like you.
I'm riding the Boston train again. They're going to rally around around Miss and Rondo, and they're going to put it together, and it's going to be a heartwarming story that ends with, like, a 5-game loss in the second round. Wizards or Grizzlies? Grizzlies are giving 6.5. It's probably going to be a we're pissed off, let's get this right kind of thing.
I could see them. Wizards have been good with Wall, but I could see the Grizzlies kind of taking it personally, especially after last night.
They're going to defend. I mean, they'll just
they'll
lock down defensively.
Heat Pacers. That's fun.
Heat Pacers. That's a toughie. Pacers are getting 2, so Heat are favored by 2 on the road. Over under a 183.
Ooh.
Kind of like Indiana here, man. They play really good defense. They get up for this game more than any other.
I mean, if you're taking Indiana, you're probably taking the under, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're hoping for one of those. Indiana goes berserk on defense and pulls out like a 88-81 victory.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I kind of like Miami here, I think.
We'll see if Wade can abuse Lance Stephenson as he should.
Yeah, that's the key to me is how will Wade play in this game, because he'll get whatever he wants against Stephenson, but the help defense is going to be there.
Indiana, please throw the ball, David Westmore. Please.
He's good.
Please, he's really good. He's really good and fun to watch, and he's a kid. Just give him the ball. I know Paul George is your all-star. Give David West the ball. Let Paul George do other things. Let Paul George be Paul George.
Yeah. Roy Hibbert had a nice game last time out.
Look, everyone keeps talking about him, and I'm sitting back and being like, look, I've seen how talented Roy Hibbert's been over the last seasons. I'm not giving up on him because of a bad 3 months.
Yeah.
He's going to get it right eventually. And when he does, you're going to be like, oh, that's right.
Well,
Roy Hibbert.
And, like, defensively, he's been
great.
One of the best in the league.
Yeah. Everyone acts like the contract's ridiculous. I'm like, if you got a guy that can protect the rim, you pay him.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the rule in this league. If you got a guy that can protect the rim, you pay him.
I'm not comparing him to Ben Wallace, but Ben Wallace was another guy that made a lot of money just to play one side of the floor.
Here's a weird one. The Raptors are going to get gay until Sunday. They're only giving 4.5 at home versus the Clippers.
They're giving 4.5?
No, I'm sorry, they're getting.
Oh, okay. That's low.
I would think it'd be 5.5, 6.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that it's just Calderon they traded.
This feels like...
Anna Davis.
This feels like Vegas is messing with us.
Yeah.
They know something. I mean, Chris Paul probably isn't playing. But even still.
Hornets are giving 7 on the road at Denver. Denver doesn't lose a home.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Hornets can't defend right now. The Suns are – here's what we've come to. The Suns are giving 3.5 at home versus Dallas.
That is – well, hey, the new Beasley. I actually
– You really want him to – you have a really twisted relationship with Michael Beasley.
I so do. I liked seeing him against the Lakers the other night because that's – I mean, he only does it like 2 or 3 times a year, but I like seeing him aggressive in a way that – puts him at the basket. He did say he's been like kind of down on himself and he's been in his own head and he's just going to go back to being the beast or whatever he said, which I don't really know what that means, but I think of that. God, what was – I can never remember the name of that arcade game that was also on Genesis. Like
Altered Beast.
Altered Beast. That's what I wanted to say.
I love that game.
That was a great game. If Michael Beasley was in that game, I would pick him every time.
The werewolf that turns into a comet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great game.
That is Michael Beasley, too, because a lot of the time he just turns into the human and runs away.
Right. He does. No, I do. I mean, I've said it a lot of times that I don't think he'll ever get it. But I really want him to. And it's not a... Like, I didn't think he would be much coming out of Kansas State. Like, I didn't get the hype around him. I thought it was just, like, you know, Kevin Durant residue, essentially. just looking for another Durant, and I didn't get it, and I didn't see it with him, and I ended up being right so far, but I mean, that doesn't mean anything. I thought Brook Lopez was going to be terrible, so what do I know? But the thing with him is once I got to cover him, and that's kind of the thing that people fall into, is that he's just such a funny guy that it makes you want to root for him.
Yeah, I guess I just, I have a hard time with guys that don't take their position seriously.
Oh, sure.
Like, it's one where you get, you have a lot of responsibility and it's a really hard gig. I accept that, and I have a lot of respect for the players and the coaches and everyone involved. This is not easy to do. But at the same time, this is a remarkable opportunity for you to follow in the footsteps of some really great players, sports, really great competitors. And you have this opportunity that not a lot of people get, and you should take it more seriously than he does.
But yeah, I agree with that.
You could be a clown and take what you do on the court seriously, and to me, he's never taken the attitude of wanting to be the best player he can be.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I have respect for a lot of guys who aren't that talented, who make them. I love guys that make the most of who they are. I'm going to talk to Grievous Vasquez here in a couple hours. And, like, that's a guy who there's absolutely no reason for Grievous Vasquez to be in this league.
Right. He worked his tail off. There's actually a really cool John Krasinski, AP writer in Minnesota. I think he's the best AP writer out there. Like, he's not just a gamer guy. Like, he actually covers the team and has smart opinions and stuff. Like, he's one of the best, I think, local reporters around the league. He has a great article on Derek Williams and how the Wolves essentially told him in December, you can either work and become a good player and justify your draft position, or you can become just another disappointing number two pick in the draft. And Derek Williams has worked really hard, and I don't know that he's going to be an all-star or anything, but he's worked really hard, and that's kind of what you're talking about. Like, it would be very easy for him to just, I'm the number two pick, I'll be fine. And a lot of guys do that, and Beasley's a guy that's done that. And choosing to work through expectations and disappointment is such a hard thing to do in the NBA. It seems like so many guys just let it go. And a guy like Grievous Vasquez, like, he is a guy that didn't have those expectations, but still wanted to. This is what he wants to do, and he's worked as hard as possible, it seems, to become a really good player, not just an NBA, like a guy who belongs in the NBA, but a guy who belongs on the court.
Yeah. Side note: I really want Derek Williams on the Lakers. I really want him with D'Antoni.
Dwight for Derek. I say let's make it happen.
Let's do it. Jazz giving 5 versus Portland at home. That one is I hate betting on either of these two teams. I hate picking in my daily picks. I hate picking these two teams.
For some reason, I have a Portland feeling, which means
I lean Jazz.
Yeah,
it's. It just neither are very good, and neither can be trusted to lose.
I think Mike Prada put it perfectly with JJ Hickson is that the other night is nobody grabs stats while hurting their team like JJ Hickson.
Portland fans do not see that at all.
And then he might have followed up with this, or maybe it was someone else who commented on it. But someone said, "Yeah, not since like Troy Murphy in Indiana have you really noticed it?" It's true.
Here's a really good one. The Nets are favored by 3.5 at home versus Chicago. Offense versus defense.
Yeah.
Brook Lopez versus Joakim.
That'll be fun.
Brolo versus Jono.
I should hang up on you for that, but I still have more to say. The Nets have been playing really good defense in January.
I want this to kind of be – I would really like this to be a playoff matchup. Think about this. Like, when Rose gets back – Rose is, by the way, doing contact practice.
Yeah.
Cross your fingers.
Yeah, get back.
Rose versus Darren Williams. Luol Deng versus Gerald Wallace. Joe Johnson versus whoever it is that the Bulls are playing at two-guard. Carlos Boozer versus Chris Humphreys / Reggie Evans. And Brolo versus Jono. I mean, this is fantastic. Nate Robinson – versus Andre Blatch. for the bench guys.
Oh my god.
Uh-huh. Taj Gibson versus Andre Blatch.
Oh god.
Oh yeah.
Pray for Andre. What the hell? Hold on. How is the Timberwolves game starting at 8:30 locally tonight? Oh, it's an ESPN game. I had no idea. Like, I would have shown up at the arena at 5 o'clock, like I normally do. It's normally a 7 o'clock game. 8:30. Well, that throws a wrench into my night. Thanks, Kobe.
Thanks, Kobe, for being extremely popular.
Yeah.
It's also sad that the Wolves are on national television.
Ooh, this isn't... Maybe Ruby will throw a cool pass or something.
Hey, there's a well-known commentator that you and I are both known is a good dude for ESPN that says that Ricky Rubio is currently the worst point guard in the NBA right now.
Oh, I mean, that's stupid. Like, he's not good right now, but the worst, that's stupid.
I should have started you off with that. That's what I should have started the show off with. It's just like, let you do that and then, like, build that fire and then let you go into the Twitter thing and just let the fires burn.
Like, all right, we know DJ Augustine exists, right? DJ Augustine is still alive. Last I heard. Like, he exists. Maybe, I mean, if you want to say he's the worst starting point guard in the NBA right now, that is probably true. I could get on board with that. I mean,
like, I feel the pain leaking out of you as you say those words.
Kirk, well, I'm just trying to, Kirk Heinrich. No, Rubio's better than Kirk Heinrich right now.
What?
Yeah. Kirk's playing great, but Rubio's better. Like John Lucas III exists.
Yeah, John Lucas III does exist.
Like Will Bynum's not better than Ricky Rubio right now. That's dumb. That's just literally dumb. That's trying to get
maybe
a reaction.
Maybe it's quote wrong. Or maybe it's something else.
That's trying to get a reaction, and clearly that didn't work. Clearly, there's no reaction on that.
Knicks favored by 5 at home versus Milwaukee to end our podcast.
Nolan Smith exists.
Focus, Harper. Focus.
What did you? Who did what now?
The Knicks are favored by 5 over Milwaukee. Contain your Rubio tears for a minute and let's buckle down.
Yeah, no, the Knicks are they're a team.
You're ruined after I said that.
There's no way Pablo Prigioni is better than Ricky Rubio right now.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen Rubio play enough, honestly. I try not to watch the Wolves because I like guys that put the ball in the bucket. So.
How dare you?
Through not their fault. When they get better, I'll feel a lot better. Like,
oh, will you now?
It's about me. I mean, really, let's be honest.
Bucks, Knicks. Brandon Jennings at the Garden. You know what? You know how he said he was doing his research on big market teams?
Yeah.
Not a single big market team other than Dallas that needs a point guard.
Huh.
Not a single one.
And almost everybody's got a point guard, though. I mean, there's really not a lot of teams that don't have a point guard.
Right. So, but who, like, why is he doing research on big markets? Not everybody is Under Armour and wants to pay him.
Oh man, I hadn't thought that though. I'm taking Bucks because he's going to go off.
I think I'll take the Knicks because he's going to try to go off.
How dare you? Dueling, how dare you? Yeah, I'm reading this article right now. You should go read it. It's not going to make you happy.
Who is it? I mean, you can't tell me his name because we can't rip him
it's
on
the. It's Thorpe. We talked about it. We've said ESPN guys before. It's Thorpe. So.
Yeah, I love David, but that's wrong. Nolan Smith exists. John Lucas III exists. DJ Augustine, come on.
You know, DJ Augustine's actually been part of their best crunch time lineup.
You know, he's not a good NBA player.
I disagree with that.
This is what we're going to go out on, because someone needs to explain this to me. What is it that DJ Augustine does well? He is a shooter who can't shoot.
Yeah, that's like the lane. I don't know. I think there's this whole realm of guys that are game managers who just they manage the game. They run the offense, and that's all they do. You know, and even if it's like, I don't think you need to be able to space the floor even to do that. If he can hit, like, he can hit a runner, okay. I really like his cutting ability. I really like his cutting ability.
Which should work out well when he cuts to the basket and Tyler Hansbrough just sees an object moving and Rudy Tomjanovich is him. He's a shooter with a 49.4 true shooting percentage.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that one. Anyway, DJ Hogsting is bad. Have a great weekend, everyone.
All right, thanks, Matt.